are talking. I'm doing a new thing. Stirring it up, but have you perceived it? Have you seen it? Did you miss it? Or is it there? I make a way in the wilderness. I'm streams in a wasteland. This is God talking. Just like Tristan's story, God is saying this to us this morning. That I'm making a way in the wilderness. That I'm bringing streams of living water in the wasteland. But the question is, are you going to miss it? Like Tristan said. Because let's be real, man. We play church pretty good. We come in here and we clap and we, you know what I mean? We do all that. We say, yeah. And we miss it. Because God wants to do the work on the inside. You know, that's a powerful, powerful sermon and verse. And it's true. But if we're being honest in the room, sometimes my life doesn't look like a new thing. Sometimes my life doesn't look like a stream. If we're being real and honest, sometimes our life looks a little more like disappointment and brokenness and hurt and pride and lust and addiction and loneliness. If we're being real, our life doesn't look like this new life. Looks a lot more like a valley full of dry bones. So yeah, Pastor, tell me about this new life. Tell me about this new thing that's going on, even though my life looks like brokenness. Tell me, Pastor. Go on. Tell me how God's gonna work and perform despite what's going on with my family, despite what's going on in my mind. For some of us, these bones are broken dreams. Bones of unanswered prayer. Bones of faith that has died. Bones of mistakes that haunt us. And the crazy thing is that when all we see is bones, we start to believe like that's the truth. When all you see is the valley, you don't see the mountaintop. When all you look at is the dead things, you don't know what God's doing underneath the surface. But I came to tell somebody that just like God said to Ezekiel, I believe that here this morning, God's looking at us in our situation and saying, son of man, can these bones live? Can they live? And I believe they can in Jesus' name. Come on, let's go there, man. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 30. I'll go there too. Chapter 30, verse 1. 37, verse 1, sorry. The hand of the Lord was on me. And he brought me out by the Spirit and set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. I saw many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, sovereign Lord, you alone know. He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I will make breath enter you. and you will come alive. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come among you and cover you with skin. And I will put breath into you and you will come alive. Church, something needs to boil within you. Come alive within you. God wants to do that this morning. I believe he's still asking us this question. Can your marriage come alive? Can your faith come alive? Can joy live? Can peace live? Can purity live? The answer is, you can't do it on your own. It's not from your ability. It's God that does it. What do you mean? You have to humble yourself and ask for it. There's no striving. There's no you doing it on your own and reading a book and discovering. You got to ask for it. That's why the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Can your marriage live? Can joy live? Can faith live? Can purity live? Can your calling live? The answer is yes, if the Holy Spirit breathes on it. Amen. But I'm going to say something that might offend. Sorry, Pastor, but I got to say it. It's in the Bible. For some of us, we're one step away from receiving what we need. But we don't because we need to die to ourselves. Jesus, as an example, Romans 8 tells us that we have received the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Come on, somebody. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. So that means that you have the ability to say to dry bones, say to dead things in your life, in your friend's life, no, live in Jesus' name. But with that being said, Jesus had to die for him to receive his resurrection power. That's why Paul says to die is gain. For many of us, we haven't received this resurrection power because we need to die to ourselves. What does that mean? You need to repent. There's sin in your life that needs to go and die. There's pride in your heart that needs to die. For some of us, there's preferences that gotta go. I don't want to look at anybody. So that's why I'm looking to. For some of us, there's things that we have to die to ourselves in order to receive the resurrection power. You're asking for the resurrection power. You need to say, Lord, less of me and more of you. Less of me and more of you. I humble myself before you. I surrender all of me before you. That is how you receive the resurrection power. We look at the bones and we look at our past and we look at the failures and the hurt and the loss. And we see that. But even despite all this, God sees the bones. But he actually sees an army. And the valley in Scripture and the wilderness in Scripture, they are symbolism of the, it being a heavy place, a not so good place, a place of struggle, lots of darkness. But what I'm saying to you today, that maybe, just maybe, God wants to take the brokenness and the bad situation that you're praying for and actually use it for his good. That I'm saying there might actually be some purpose in the valley. I might even dare say there might be purpose in the pain hidden under the surface. But you got to ask him and seek him for it. That the dryness isn't at the end, but it's actually a setup for God's breath. So my sermon title is this: what is dead in you? What's dead in you? What's dead in you that needs to come alive? What's that thing that's dead inside you that needs to come alive? And I get it. Life's hard. In April, my grandma, my best friend, passed away. And that was rough for me. I was youth pastoring at my church, and I couldn't lead. My team did an awesome job. They covered for me, but she was my best friend. And I know the scriptures, man. Okay. Like there's no sermon that could fix how I actually felt. I knew where she was going, hallelujah. But there was still sadness. Growing up, I wasn't born Christian. My father left before I was born. And I remember playing around with some of my friends and noticing that they had dads that would pick them up from school. And I went home to my mom and I asked her, hey, like, you know, where's my dad? And with awesome intentions, pretty poor delivery, she looked at me and she said, you know, son, he didn't want you, but I want you. And I will never forget the feeling of unwant in my soul. So much that I would, my mom tried her best, but again, there was still a hole in my heart. There was still bones left in me. And I got into all sorts of things, drugs, partying, all sort of stuff at a very young age, bullying other kids, doing all that. Fast forward, I went to this youth camp and got saved and received the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues and all that. And it was good. Yes, amen. But it wasn't until 3 years ago where it actually hit me. I was preaching and it was on a Friday night and I just was sitting with my grade 12 boys. And we're talking about girls as they do, like, you know what I mean? And he looks, one of them looks over and puts his shoulder on my head. What? His head on my shoulder. And he leans in and he says, Pastor, I just realized something. You are my spiritual father. And just like that, we began to cry. Because once I was dead, fatherless. And then in that moment, I realized that I'm a father of many, spiritually. And so I want to ask us again this morning, what is dead in you that God wants to make come alive? For some of us, maybe you're like me, where dad isn't present. Maybe for some of us, dad is present, but he's not really there, if you know what I mean. Maybe for some of us, we're trying to be pure in a world full of lust, For others, we have a past and a secret that's keeping us trapped. For others, maybe your home is your sanctuary, but at work, it's a living hell. For others, maybe there's a smile on the outside, but on the inside, there's a war going on in your mind. What is dead in you? Because if we're being honest, we all have something. There's a famous black preacher that would say, if you're not dead, God's not done. Meaning we all have something. We all have something. Whether you're 8 or 88. This is what's crazy. I love this. In verse 4. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear what the Lord says. Or hear the voice of the Lord. He says, prophesy. And I love that because the Lord gave him the authority to speak and prophesy to the situation and prophesy to the bones to live. And what I'm saying is that same power lives in you. Hello. That same power lives in you. In you and in me to speak to the situation and say, thus says the Lord, hear the voice of the Lord, dry bones, live. You got the same power. You have that resurrection breath in your lungs when you receive the Holy Spirit. And some of you need to receive the Holy Spirit. Some of you need to receive the Holy Spirit. Because you can't work with old wineskin. Just because you went to a camp years ago doesn't mean anything. His mercies renew every morning. So every morning I repent, I submit, and I say, Lord, do what you want to do. Move how you want to do. Fill me again with your resurrection power. Come on. Come on. It's there for us, man. It's there. I'm going to get real again, though. For some of us, there's bones that we didn't ask for. Notice that in the text, Ezekiel didn't approach, and then the bones appeared. The bones are already there. And for some of us, there are bones that was there before we got there. What am I saying? For some of us, there's a generational bones that's been passed down from generations to generation. Grandma got pregnant out of wedlock. Mama got pregnant out of wedlock. Oh, now my daughter's pregnant. Dad was an alcoholic. You're a struggler. You struggle with drugs. Now my son comes home high. Mom was wrestling with mental health. You battle with mental health. Now you notice your kids having panic attacks. There's generational traumas, generational bones that affect us till now. But I'm telling you, you can't fix it with a self-help book. You can't fix it with just manifesting in the crystal. You need the Holy Spirit in order to change and shift the atmosphere. That's why we pray. You know what I'm saying? That's why your pastors care so much about worship and all this stuff. Because they want you to receive the power, bro. That only comes from him. But you gotta ask for it. Don't be scared. Some people in my church, every time I preach, they're like, Pastor, I'm so scared. I'm like, bro, don't be scared, bro. That's the power. Listen to me, okay? I know some people, you know, when I start going crazy like this, I'm saying mental health is real. Therapy is very valid. I go to therapy myself. My wife is training to be a therapist, okay? All of this stuff is real, okay? Don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? However, sometimes I think we counsel what we need to cast out. Sometimes we counsel what we need to cast out. There are bones in our families that we need the Lord to deliver us from. That we need the Lord to breathe on. You know, bones that didn't want to let the Johnsons go. Bones that didn't want to let the Wilsons go. Or the Sinyares. Or the Alexanders. But I'm wondering if there's anyone in the room like me that will say to those bones, enough is enough. It stops with this generation. No more ruining my family. No more ruining my house. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Come on. Come on. And just wait. I might be in a valley now, but just wait till I get the Spirit of God on it. Wait till I get the Spirit of God on me. Then you'll see I got the resurrection breath in my lungs. Amen? For some of us, and I'll finish with this. Maybe band, you can come back up. If you guys want. Sorry, I didn't prep them or anything like that. My fault. But I'm going to finish with this. To be honest, this story isn't actually about you. Yes, God is going to do a work in you. But he cares more about what he's going to do through you. Yes, it's called the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Did I miss one? You guys don't even know. I'm just kidding. I don't think I did. We just had VBS, and so I think I got it all. But yes, when you serve the Lord, all of these things will happen. Despite you being in the valley, you'll have joy. Despite you being in the valley, you'll have peace and patience and goodness. All of it. Self-control. All of it. But it's actually not about you. That you were set. This is what it says. The hand of God was on me. And he brought me by the Spirit and set me in the middle of the valley. You were sent to be in this valley. Not because, oh, woe is you being in the valley. But because there's dry bones that need to live. Because you're in it. Because you're there. You're in situations and in a house and in a home and in a workplace because you need to be there because you carry the breath of God. And I wish, you know, I was a preacher that could just give you a nice goody-goody feeling, but you're on mission. You don't get the Holy Spirit to just feel nice. Oh, Holy Spirit. mate. I'm just kidding. You receive the Holy Spirit to go out. You preach the gospel. Yes. And more than that, you say, hey, I know your situation is broken. I know you have dry bones in your situation. But let me tell you about the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Let me breathe into the situation that you're in. Not because of what I can do, but through whom I know. Purpose. Your mess has a mission. And your breath carries power to push back the darkness. God placed you where you are because somebody else needs their bones to live. You're too busy thinking about your own self to recognize what God's actually doing in and through you. Yeah, but God, I want this. I want the miracle. He's like, bro, you already received the miracle. You have me. Now it's time for you to go out. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship the King of Kings one more time. And while we worship, I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, what's dead in me? What's dead in me? What is it do I need to fix? One of my favorite stories is the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus is walking through a crowd, and this woman touches his cloak, and he notices, it says that power had left him. And in a crowd full of people, he turns to the woman, and he says, She
waves Jesus down and says, that was me who touched you.
But in the midst of the crowd, he has a one-on-one personal moment with this woman. And he says, daughter, your faith has healed you. And I believe that same moment we can have right here. We're in a room full of people, but you can have a one-on-one moment with Jesus. So that's what we're going to do. Have a one-on-one moment with Jesus, and you're going to ask him, actually ask him, what is dead in me? Can we do that? Okay, let's stand to our feet. Lord, I pray that you speak to your people, that your words would be clear and loud, that we would be honest, maybe for the first time. But your word says your mercies renew every morning. We all need this. I need it. Speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name.